Hi guys, welcome to another exciting episode of Happy Being Well. We have a really, really exciting guest today. She might be deemed like the perfect guest for the Happy Being Well show because she is a happiness expert. And she has an amazing podcast called Everyday Happiness, which is really, really cool because it's just snippets of how to be happy in a 2-minute segment. Her name is Katie Jeffcoat. And before we explore this happiness conversation with Katie, we're going to have a message from our sponsor, which is happybeingwell.com, your online store for leggings, 100% natural facial masks, natural bath soaps, natural essential oils, natural deodorants, crystals, sage, Palo Santo, aromatherapy diffusers, and much more organic self-care goodies at happybeingwell.com. Use code PODCAST25 for 25% off all leggings, free shipping on any items in the USA. So that's happybeingwell.com is making this podcast possible for you to listen to. So Katie, so I'm excited to like dive in this conversation with a happiness expert. Like I really don't run into people who specialize in happiness. It's really interesting. And I mean, of course, everyone is always like learning and trying to learn and hone in on the skill and trying to, you know, through personal development, ultimately the goal is happiness, right? Whether that is more success, financial success, or whether that is a sense of feeling secure, or whether that's emotional mastery, like it all paths lead to happiness, right? So what led you to become a happiness expert?
Well, I was a trial lawyer for a long time in Washington, D.C., where I live. Now I'm a recovering lawyer, I like to say. And once I had my kids, I stopped practicing law and I just went through a little bit of a self-reflection journey. It was like, why does everyone in my space, which was typically like high achievers, very busy professionals, feel so overwhelmed, like they're running on the hamster wheel? And what does happiness have to do with all of that? And what I found was that when we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we just want to escape to the private island where somebody else is bringing us, you know, fancy drinks with umbrellas, what we're really saying is that we just want to find some harmony and some happiness and some intentional margins and some, you know, ways that we can identify our priorities. And so being a lawyer, I couldn't get excited about all the woo-woo stuff without knowing the science behind it. I was so curious why gratitude and kindness and social connection make you happier, or they increase these hormones in your body that sparks all of this happiness. I was so curious about that, but I needed the proof. And so when I started diving in and discovering the proof from my analytical side, I was like, more people need to know this, because I was very standoffish when I thought this is just all, you know, the universe. I couldn't quite get my head around it. So once I dove into the proof, I had to share it. I couldn't keep it a secret any longer. And that's what I do now on Everyday Happiness.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, this is like, I think this has been a common grievance in a lot of corporate working American careers. People in their careers, like suffering from burnout is becoming a very buzz topic in our culture. And the pandemic really, really, really opened people's eyes up into the true cost of constantly, you know, working, and you're not having that harmony. Or like, work can be stressful, but it's a healthy stress too, because it's just, you know, we can't escape stress. It's most importantly, we know how to deal with stress. I know how to manage the levels of stress as well. Obviously, if you're in an extremely toxic environment where there's psychological abuse, obviously it's going to produce a high, high level of stress that you don't want to experience every day, because that's going to cause health problems. It can cause fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, a whole host of things, because your nervous system, this is what leads to adrenal fatigue down the road. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because your nervous system is constantly activated at a very high level with that anxiety and stress, and it's not good for the body or the mind. It can cause complex PTSD as well. So you're advocating harmony. You're a recovering lawyer. Is it possible for lawyers to have that harmony, achieve that harmony, and be happy?
I think it is, but I think the biggest question is, do you want to be intentional about doing that? So I created a concept years ago called intentional margins, which is finding the harmony between your to-dos and your priorities. And your priorities can change in the season of life that you're in, right? Whether that's, I have a big trial if I'm a lawyer, or I'm writing a book, or my kids really need me, or whatever the season is, right? Seasons always change. But it's finding those priorities in that season. I think a lot of times what us women tend to do, especially, is we have, 20 things on the to-do list for the day, which is way too many. We get 17 done and we beat ourselves up for the 3 we didn't get done. Mm-hmm. We only think about the 3 we didn't get done and not all the 17 we did. And at the end of the day or the end of the week, we can question, what was it all for? Where was my priorities? Where was my intentional margin? And so for me, I like to identify what that is. So maybe it's sleep. That's a big one for me. I require and I prioritize my sleep. Maybe it's having coffee with a friend or a spouse or a partner, or knitting or reading or working on a project or volunteering, whatever your priorities are. Making time for those priorities so that we can live in fulfilled happiness. Because that's really when we're the most happy. We're not typically the most happy when we're making appointments, going to the dentist, paying our taxes, power washing the front steps, whatever that is, right? We get that dopamine hit by checking the to-do list, but we're not getting the happiness boost, the oxytocin, the serotonin, those kinds of things. So I love the idea of trying to create a part of our calendar that can be living in our priorities.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say to, the workaholics that get that adrenaline rush from their work? They feel a sense of satisfaction and, getting, for example, if it's a lawyer, winning the court case, and they enjoy that process of, coming up with creative strategies and doing the research to showcase proof and, construct a very logical argument that their client, is in the right. There's a certain high there, right? Because it's a sense of achievement. And you enjoy that process. So what do you say to people that, just end up becoming workaholics?
Well, I think if you, if happiness is on the other side of a goal, you'll never achieve it. So what I mean by that is that if happiness is on the other side of making $100,000 a year, the minute you make $100,000 a year, you want to make $120,000 a year. It's on the opposite side. You'll never achieve it. It's this scientific principle called hedonic adaptation. And it's this idea that the new car feels great for that day or that week. And pretty soon the new car smell just smells like a regular car. You know what I mean? And it's this idea that we can continue to strive for things, but it's never going to be good enough. We're always going to want more, whether it's a job promotion, winning the next case if you're a lawyer, solving the next, medical issue if you're a doctor. There's always something that we're going to want more of. It's shopping, right? I bought a fancy handbag. Now I want another fancy handbag. Not me, but generally speaking.
Yeah.
What does that look like? And so it's this thing called hedonic adaptation, where scientifically, where happiness really starts from within. But happiness, most of the scientists agree that happiness is a two-pronged approach. The first prong is your happiness emotions. So it's the joy, elatement, contentment, all of the emotions that make you feel good. When you get the best parking spot, when you're going somewhere and you're looking for parking, you're like, yeah, I did it, right? You get that emotion. It doesn't last very long, but you get that spark. Mm-hmm. The other prong of happiness is purpose and satisfaction. And so that's where I spend a lot of my time, is in purpose and satisfaction. Because if you look at happiness from like a pie chart, mm-hmm. we have our DNA and we have our circumstances, and those we really can't change. We have about 25% of that pie chart is what we can control. And that's where I focus. And that comes into purpose and satisfaction. So purpose is the idea that you get to, it's how you feel when you are doing the thing you love. So purpose is how you feel when you are doing the thing that you love. And this can be work. This can be philanthropy. This can be spending time with children. It can be lots of things. And then satisfaction is what you have divided by what you want. So satisfaction is all about being happy with what you have and not what you want. So that's like the hedonic treadmill, right? I'm happy that I'm happy and grateful and appreciative that I have a roof over my head. I'm not looking for the mansion or whatever, you know, like, it's all of this, like I'm satisfied with what I have. Like, it's like a reverse bucket list. The bucket list, all the things that you want. But instead, if we just focus on what you have, which is what Arthur Brooks, who's a scientist out of Harvard, says, you really, that's when you find your fulfilled happiness, when you appreciate what you have. That makes sense.
That totally makes sense. And it's really, really powerful when you really, really embed that thinking. It's gratitude thinking, you know. It's why we keep hearing about, it's important to have a gratitude journal and express your gratitudes on a daily basis, because you're rewiring your brain. It activates your ability to see more resources in your life that you can tap into based on what you already have. It activates your ability to see creative solutions working with what you already have, right? With the saying of, you know, turning lemons into lemonade, right? You're going to be better apt to do that once your mind is thinking like that. And then of course it activates chemicals in our body to feel better in the present moment. When I'm gratitude for my house, I'm gratitude for, I have running water, you know, I have food, like the simplest things. You feel a sense, you just by doing that, you just feel better. And so therefore, if you feel better in your body as well, with the chemical, you know, producing serotonin, it's going to amplify, we're going to have more energy and think better as well. It's like, there's so many, it's a domino effect of basically thinking better, thinking more healthier. There's so many like benefits to it that trickle off. And you mentioned purpose and passion. So like knowing what your purpose is in life.
Yeah, exactly. So purpose can be lots of different things, right? Like purpose, you know, in different seasons of your life, it can change. Because if you have this purpose right now, like raising little kids, or your jobs change, right? But purpose also is like human connection, mm-hmm. you know, having purpose within human endeavors that create a sense of purpose, whether it's book club or having connections with others through, you know, lots of different ways. We can, you know, literally come up with a list of ways. But it's research, it's your work, it's being part of a community. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what purpose lends itself to. And everyone finds purpose in different ways, and your purpose changes, you know, and that's okay. Like, look, I always love to say, my friend Jenna says this all the time, there's a million ways to do something. You just have to decide what works for you. And I think she's right. Like, there are a million ways to do all of this, and you just have to decide what works for you. For example, gratitude, like you mentioned just a couple minutes ago. I like to wake up in the morning and do a gratitude frenzy, put my feet on the ground, and I'm just, you know, going to brush my teeth, and I'm thinking about all the things that I'm grateful for. But for a really long time, I was caught up in the semantics of gratitude. I couldn't get there. I couldn't feel it. It just felt too woo-woo, outside of the box. Like I was like, of course I'm grateful, but I'm not even grateful. Like I earned it. You know, I was having this really inner dialogue with myself in this, yes, I'm grateful for my house, but I earned my house. Like I worked really hard to buy the house and pay the mortgage, right? I earned it. And so was I grateful for that? I mean, I guess, but what does that mean? You know, so I was really struggled with that. And what I discovered is that for me, it was all about semantics. So when I started saying appreciation instead of gratitude, it completely changed the way that I was thinking about it. They're both the same. I appreciate my house. I appreciate the running water. I appreciate having two legs that I get to stand up on every single morning. I appreciate, you know, the crayons and the children's crayon box, like whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I was really struggling with gratitude. So I just want to give that as an insight maybe to some of your listeners that are like, yeah, I'm not there. I don't care about that. Gratitude is one of the biggest ways to really boost your happiness. But I kind of look at it like a recipe. So where are you from again? Where do you live?
Well, right now, currently, I'm in Toronto and moving back over to California. So
I don't know how the people in Toronto make their chicken noodle soup or chicken soup, but I'm from Minnesota. I live in Washington, D.C., and people have a different recipe about how to make chicken soup. Some people use tofu because they're a vegetarian or whatever. Some people use noodles. Some people use rice. Some people use carrots. Some people use celery. Some people even put peas in their chicken soup. I don't even understand who these people are, but they do. This is like the craziest thing. There's so many ways to make a chicken soup. And I think about that for happiness because there's a recipe and then there's all the ingredients and you get to put into this recipe what works for you. So whether that's gratitude, kindness, which is a big part of happiness, social connection, savoring, like savoring moments, you know, just being really present in the moment. Those are all ingredients that can go into your happiness recipe. And if gratitude doesn't do it for you and kindness does, do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. There's no one size fits all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. It truly is powerful. Like once you really embody those gratitude exercises, using the word appreciation instead of gratitude, if that resonates better with you, you know, you get to a point where you don't have to be consciously doing it. It just becomes a part of your subconscious way of being. Eventually it just becomes unconscious competence at some point after doing it initially. And you mentioned, which I like too, is that, you know, doing everything with purpose, you know, like let's say you're writing a book, like what is the purpose of writing the book? You know, is it to really help, you know, help people with a certain thing, you know, that's the, what is it, you know, write down your purpose. You know, having a purpose for everything is also really powerful. Like if you're going to be joining a community, what's your purpose for joining that community? You know, obviously it'd be connection, you know, supporting each other, uplifting each other, learning from each other. When you really, really are more conscious of what you do with purpose, you know, you're going to like really focus on stuff that's actions that are filled with joy because you're linking, hey, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose? So you're not going to be all over the place, right? Like for example, like you're on social media, and they're wasting a bunch of time. If you incorporate that purpose into your thinking, like what's the purpose of this? Why am I scrolling? You know. There's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes people like may do it excessively and maybe they're doing it because they are procrastinating on something, right? So if you really adopt this purpose-based thinking and with everything you do everything with purpose, it really kind of guides your actions towards doing things that is aligned with your beliefs, your values, right? And then we can get into the importance of identifying your beliefs and values, right? So that you can be in alignment with the actions you take that produces that joy and happiness, right? So a lot of people, would you say, would be like not tuned in with their beliefs and values?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are becoming more and more introspective as we, you know, evolve. I think we were talking a lot less about this 20 years ago. A lot of kindness research and behavioral research has come out, you know, in the last decade or two on, you know, how this impacts people. But I think really what I'm seeing is that people are they've gotten out of the habit of being kind. I think the last 4 or 5 years have been rough for people, especially in the US with our political situation. COVID has done a number on the world. There's been wildfires and wars. And I think more than anything, we want the people that come behind us to have a better, more kinder world than what we have. And it's hard to know what to do. And I think people have really gotten out of the habit of being kind, and not on purpose, not intentional. People are not more mean now. That's not true at all. They're just more isolated. Mm-hmm. There's a loneliness epidemic in the US. It's just harder to connect. And so that's why I love the concept of kindness. Out of all of the happiness stuff we can talk about, I think kindness matters so much. Not only is it scientifically proven that there can be a ripple effect from kindness, whether that's, you know, there's so many ways you can do that. And we can go through a whole list of ways on how kindness matters and how you can do it. But it's absolutely a ripple effect and scientifically proven to help boost your happiness. And not only your happiness when you do a kind act for someone else, but then you get to scientifically through this, your DNA, through your hormones in your body, when somebody does a kind thing for you, you get a boost of this hormone as well, oxytocin, serotonin, love. And so it just feels good. And you are more likely to then be kind to someone else, which is why the ripple effect matters.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's just so fascinating. And it's so fun when you get to see how your actions start to create a ripple effect. So in kindness, you can, you know, like just recently, my UPS driver, I've been buying a ton of stuff from Amazon lately. I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but UPS driver had been at my house quite a few times, like in a row. And my office is right in the front of the house, so I can see the truck pull up. And I always try to like open the door and say hi and thank you and all of that stuff. And he always gets like this big smile. And it's just like one way to like show kindness. Last week I was on an airplane and I didn't have a charger for my iPhone. I had like the block part and the iPhone, but not the cord. And I asked the flight attendant if he had a personal one that I could borrow, because I was really feeling like I was going to run out of battery and not be able to call the people that were picking me up when I got off the plane. So I was like having a little bit of like a moment. And he had a charger and he gave it to me, no problem. And when I gave it back, I wrote on the napkin, like, thanks for being so kind. It really helped my day. You know, you're great. And he got this like boost of kindness because he like came up. He's like, thank you so much. That was so nice. And I think sometimes we think about being kind. Like we're like, oh, my friend, you know, is having a bad day. I should drop off flowers or whatever. We think about this. We don't always do it. It can be hard to do, which is one of the reasons why I started part of my company, kindness cards, which are just postcards that say, thinking of you, remember your awesomeness, you are magic, like the world is better with you in it. And they're just postcards. So you could just put a little note in the mail randomly to someone. And like that ripple effect is super contagious. It's like the honors course for kindness. It's so fascinating how getting mail is such a impactful, meaningful way to have connection, even when you're not in person. And all of that is scientifically proven to boost happiness, which is so fun. I mean, who doesn't love to get mail? I think cards, sometimes I never know what to say. Like, do I have to write a novel? Like, what am I going to say in this? But a postcard, there's not that much space. So easy to write something quick. And I love it. And people love it. You use them as gift tags or you use them for lots of different reasons. And who doesn't want to spread kindness? I think that's one of the ways that we can really increase our happiness as a community.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember when I was in high school, me and my cousin, we would write letters to each other. And we would like, she would, you know, she was really influenced by the Victorian era. So she would like, we would really go into putting a lot of energy into making them fancy. Like we would like tea stain the envelope and like use acrylic pens in different colors with gold when writing our names when it on the address or even just the letter, using fancy letterhead, you know, putting like stickers on it, like really getting creative with the whole process of the the like even the envelope and the letter. And so it would always be exciting getting a letter from her. And then I would try to be as creative as she was in making it, you know, as fancy as well. And it just really, really exciting because it's like we're putting in energy into making it special. So it doesn't have to be like, you know, someone doesn't have to go all out like that. We were young and we had time and energy in our hands. And, but it's the energy, cause it's like, you know, it's so much different because it's someone's handwriting and it's just more personal. It's a more personal touch, as opposed to like an email. And
But even if it's just an email, it's worth it to just do the email. Every day you wake up and you send somebody a letter or an email of appreciation. Or you do a voice text on your phone. You know how like iPhones, you can like do a voice text, you know, just some sort of like appreciation. Like, hey, I was thinking about you. I appreciate you. Or I'm really inspired by what you're doing. I saw whatever, you know, on social or LinkedIn or, you know, it doesn't even matter. Like just some little note, it means so much to people. We're just out of the practice of that, out of the habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. And I think that my take on it is, you know, in terms of the loneliness epidemic and, you know, it happened before COVID. It's just COVID, perhaps, you know, it probably accelerated it a bit more. I think that my take is like, we've been living in such a toxic culture. And, you know, people want to protect themselves. And I just feel, and I like to watch YouTubers too. And even with the Gen Z influencers, these YouTubers, they're a lot of the popular ones. They're showcasing their like alone lifestyle. They're like, just, you know, and people are watching, right? Cause I guess they can relate to that. That's why they draw in such a huge audience. And they're, you know, like it's turned into a culture of like wanting to be alone. So my take on it is that I feel like where we are right now in the evolutionary process, I think that we've gotten so toxic that people now it becomes so much anxiety to be, you know, because like, I'm going to form another toxic friendship. Oh, you know what I mean? So it's like, there's a trend now to like be alone, to have that sense of peace and connect with yourself is being promoted in a certain, I would say maybe a subculture, because it is trending on, you know, I mean, I'm seeing it. So I feel like it's like a lesson, you know, we need to like be alone with ourselves, or, you know, some people just need that time to be alone to kind of just recharge, reconnect. So that when they reconnect with people, you know, you can choose healthier friendships or healthy relationships, because you're just going through a learning process. And I think as a culture, I think that's what we're doing. I think that we are now just, okay, everybody time out, you know, everybody time out, go to your corners and self-reflect. And that's what I'm seeing, because it's so much more personal development podcasts have sprung up like crazy. Celebrities are talking about personal development. It's like ever before, we have so many much more voices. Like in the 90s, we just had Oprah. Now it's like so much more voices that it's like you can't ignore it anymore. So I just feel like we are going to get past the loneliness epidemic, where people are just, we're going to learn to be better at connecting as a whole, as a collective consciousness. And I think it starts at the individual level. Would you not agree?
Yeah, I think it obviously starts at the individual level. Like when we can connect and be kind and, you know, work on all of that from within, there's no question that then that portrays our outward selves, right? And if we can assume positive intent and then, you know, try to understand where people are coming from and also, you know, be there for people that are feeling lonely or, you know, in a mental health crisis or something like that, you know, we can help them get the help that they need. I think we're all better off. And I think what we're finding is that the society is more and more open to talking about mental health. We're not there yet. We're not talking about it like we are physical health, but I think we're moving in the right direction. So we just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of your best tips for happiness? Like what would be your top tips?
Well, I think kindness is probably at the top of my list, whether it's, like I said, like sending a note, whether it's, you know, opening the door for someone, helping your neighbor bring in groceries, all of the ways, you know, doing a kindness postcard, whether it's one of my postcards or, you know, anything, you can make your own, you can buy whatever you want. I think that really matters. And then because we've gotten out of the habit of being kind, I think that's where it starts. That also creates meaningful connection. That's, you know, if you can't be in person, maybe some of these acts of kindness are in person, right? Gratitude and appreciation stems from that. What are we grateful for? What do we appreciate? All of that is part of how we show up. And so it's just being intentional about making sure that we do it. So easy to like think we're going to do something and then not do it. Whether we have good intentions or whether we think we're doing it, but we're not like keeping track. It's so easy. And I think it's just being super intentional about the kind of life that you want to create. What do you want? Like, how do you interpret fulfilled happiness for you? What kind of season of life are you in? And how does that, you know, what season and like, how does that play out into what you're willing to do? Like you said, when you were in high school, it was easy to like do these elaborate letters. And now maybe you don't have the time for that, but you have the time to write a postcard or send a quick text. You know, not everything has to be the same for everyone. It's what works for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think too, you know, with technology, our careers have gotten more demanding, right? We can bring our work, well, you know, we can bring our work home, our boss can text us after out, you know, it's just, there's more pressure to do more because now with the ease of technology, you know, we're laptops, emails, right? It just Zooms. Social media. I mean, having a social media following is not just restricted to, you know, somebody that wants to be an influencer. You know, a lot of, depending upon what career you have, as an employee, you know, it could help booster your ability to get a job or get promoted. So then that's another job in itself, managing and boosting your social media account, right? So I'm saying all these things just to highlight like people are just so busy with just work, you know, and getting their stuff done. I think that has to a lot to do with pushing the social stuff off the plate, you know, because then they get, maybe they feel tired. You know, I feel there's a lot of things going on, and we just have to really look at all these small variables, like, okay, maybe I learn to better manage my time. But then if I value, what do you value? Do you value that human, that social connection? And like, what does it bring for you? Or what is it? You really have to sit down and really just look at everything, like, okay, what is this doing if I'm just so caught up in everything that I have to do, right? What is that bringing me, right? Going back to what you said about purpose, like, always think about the purpose behind everything you're doing. So it's just basically all encompasses just being more mindful with everything that we do, everything that, what we think, that translates into how we feel.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. You can be busy and still feel balanced, because no productivity hack or no color coding your calendar, you know, theme is going to help you feel less overwhelmed or less busy. The fact is, busy is a feeling. You can't productivity your way out of it. You know, so what you can do is identify your priorities in this season so that you can have harmony, or you can have balance, because we're always going to be busy. And so many people wear the busy badge of honor, right? But busy is just a feeling. It's just a state of being. It's a, you know, time affluence, you know, kind of concept where if you think you have enough time, you do, right? And so you just have to decide what matters. And if you put your priorities in front of your tasks and you can somehow find some harmony in that, then you can be busy and be balanced in these priorities in this season, whatever it is. Because nobody wants to do the to-do list and check it off every single day. We love the dopamine hits. I get it. I do too. I love the feeling of productivity, but that doesn't make me feel less busy. So it's an emotional state.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, it provides them a sense of worth, self-worth, like, look what I've accomplished, right?
Of course.
Yeah, you can get addicted to that dopamine hit of that. Yeah, for sure, for sure. So awesome conversation with you, Katie. And if somebody wants to work with you, learn more about you, where can they go?
Well, I have a podcast called Everyday Happiness, Finding Harmony and Bliss. And it's 2 minutes a day. It's a micro podcast every single day. You can get it on Amazon Flash Briefings. You can also get it on anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And everything is on my website, katiejeffcoat.com. That's KATIEJEFCOAT.com. And there you can find kindness cards. You can learn more about the work I do in communities and in the workplace, and you can get all the links to the podcast and hear about anything else we have going on. I have some freebies, like how to create your intentional day, how to create a family meeting, like all the things that I love so much. I give it all away for free on my website. You can check it out.
Awesome. Awesome. So you have kindness cards. That sounds cool. So are they like templates? Like are they templated cards that people can buy?
They're postcards that come shipped direct to you that you can buy and start sending all across the world as fast as you can. We really have a mission to try to send as many postcards to as many countries as we can this year. And so we're really excited to see what happens with that. And hopefully we'll be able to show a world map with like pins and, you know, use the hashtag kindness cards and see where it goes, which I think would be so fun to follow all these cards all around the world.
Awesome. So did you actually ship them to the actual recipient, or do people order the cards and they ship them out to whoever they want to give them to?
Yeah. So they order them just like you would from like Amazon or wherever else. You order a pack of 10, you get them delivered to your house. It's through a fulfillment and distribution partner. And then I've designed them and created them. And we have like this amazing little QR code that tells you the science of kindness and how it's, you know, floating around in the world. And then, so you get them and then you write them out and you ship them off, put them in your mailbox. Easy peasy.
Oh, so you can customize them and then they come to your door.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Yep.
You can write, well, you can do some of it, but a lot of it is just like how you interpret kindness, like what you want to say to the person on the back of the postcard.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Love that. Cool. That's awesome. And can they work one-on-one with you? Do you do any group coaching? Like how, if somebody wants to work with a happiness expert like yourself, Katie, like how can they work with you?
Yeah. So I don't do any one-to-one or any group coaching. I consult for companies and I work in bigger companies, but I don't do any coaching right now. I mean, that doesn't mean to say that I won't ever, but really it's the podcast. I have a membership community, but it's really just more high level because as we all know, like time is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So really trying to live in my priorities and balance my time and attention as I have some kids I'm trying to raise and do all the things.
Awesome. So you basically go in and create happy workplaces. Is that what you do? Like create more happiness? Awesome. We definitely need more of that. So that is awesome. 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 Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, because workplace is such an important, that's where everybody spends most of their time. And then they carry that into the home. And then that's how it can influence how you raise your children if you're working in a toxic environment. So it's such a source of, it's so important that we have happy workplaces or more healthy workplaces because it's, you know, can influence the parents and our children and it's such a domino effect. So, so kudos to you for taking on that work. You know, you're helping America one workplace at a time. So thanks, Katie, for being on the podcast today. And everybody go check out her podcast, Everyday Happiness, and check out her website, katiejeffcoat.com. And sending love and light to everybody. And if you like this podcast episode, subscribe so you don't miss another episode of Happy Being Well. And check out happybeingwell.com and use code podcast25 for 25% off leggings, free shipping in the USA. All right, bye guys, sending light and love. Until next time.